We've got some news about Gen V. We've got some news about Wednesday, Riddick 4, and of course, goodbye. Ooh, Wolverine after that immense scene in X-Men 97 Episode 9, which we are going to be diving into right now. But you know what comes up first.
Welcome to the Lights, Camera, Rant Podcast. Your source for the latest on movies, TV shows, and video games. Get ready for ranting, raving, and reviewing. Here is your host, Lee.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Lights, Camera, Rant. And as I said, this past week has been nuts. You know, there's been stuff from Marvel, there's been stuff from DC, there's been stuff from Star Wars, there's been an immense big turnaround in the gaming scene. Like, there's just been banger after banger this entire week. And, you know, I honestly think that for the last few months, we've not had a slow week in the news at all and in content, really at all. There's always been something new that's coming out, and that which is awesome. Either that being small clips or animation or anything. And of course, again, X-Men 97 is absolutely killing it. And I can't stress that enough. And for anyone, again, anyone who's sleeping on this show, you can't. And I do know that animation is not for everybody. Everyone's like, oh, it's just a cartoon. But I'm like, if you're looking for one of the best representations of the X-Men and you thought the X-Men movies didn't do them justice, this is where you need to look, right here, X-Men 97, and you need to give it a crack. And before you do ask, it is not part of the MCU. It is still separate right now. But that may change as we are in the multiverse era. And I would like to say thank you very much to Mr. Michael Words for coming past on the YouTube. As well, as a quick reminder, we go live every weekend to record these episodes. And we drop them on everyone, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get them. And we always make sure we keep you guys up to date on the latest. Now, let's dive in to this week. Now, unfortunately, about a month and a bit ago, Chance Perrydin, he passed away due to a motorcycle accident. And you'll know him from Gen V. Now, of course, with any death, unfortunate, untimely death in a TV show, it always comes up what's going to happen. Am they going to be recast? Are they going to be fade out? Are they just going to be killed off screen? Well, the creators of Gen V have come forward and said the fact they will not be recasting his role in a Gen V. So we will see him in The Boys season four that is right around the corner, which I can't wait. And I know I said this the other week, but June is literally just going to be Star Wars Acolyte, Star Wars Acolyte, Star Wars Acolyte, and then bam, Deadpool 3 just to finish it all off. They've come forward to say that they will not recast his role. So whatever the events of The Boys season 4 that will happen in between that time, it might be Homelander killed him, or you know, he's right off and gone somewhere else to be alone. But they will not be recasting his role, so they will have to find a new lead to fill in his position for that team dynamic, but they will not be recasting him. So very curious to know how his role is going to end. We probably won't see what's going to happen until, obviously, season two of Gen V, which will be next year, June, when we get that, because obviously now it's going to be Gen V, The Boys, Gen V, The Boys. So, but it's good to know they're not going to be recasting him, but it is very sad that, you know, Gen V just got announced for season two. It did so well. And, you know, obvious condolences go to his friends, his family, and his pets. But that's good to know that they're going to recast it. Moving on. So this is what I was talking about in a massive, the power of community, the power of a fan base. Now, you have a game called Helldivers. Now, if you haven't played the game, you should. It's a really good game. It's a game that has taken the gaming world by storm, because it's, you know, it's not a major AAA title, but it's just gone berserk. And both the internet fandom, the fans playing the game, has just gone insane. Now, this game has been on absolute hot high ever since it's dropped. However, we reported last week that Sony unfortunately kicked in this thing where the fact you had to have a PS account to play the game. Which, what do you think is going to happen? Everyone's going to get pissed. Everyone's going to get pissed about it. And that's exactly what happened. And you should have seen it. One of the most positive games on Steam went from being this high positive straight down, an absolute bomb of what was going to happen with that game of reviews. People were deleting it. People were refunding it. People were saying they were never going to play the game again because of this. And there was about a list of like 20 countries that didn't have access to PSN, or they couldn't access that to make an account, so they instantly couldn't play the game. So you just lost a massive fan base of players because of that. This was the definition of a nail in the coffin of killing a game that we've seen in recent times. And just watching it was just like, oh my God. Like, it was just going down, then more news reports, more like high Twitch gamers all saying, I'm not going to play this game again. It's dead. It's done. The best way Sony could have killed a game. However, lucky enough, Sony has come to their senses and have reversed that decision entirely. And you can see it now, instead of it being absolutely negative, it's absolutely been positive. So for Helldivers, that was an absolute wild week of people leaving it, people going. It's just nuts what's happened with them. And it's just watching it just unfold, it's like, Jesus, like, how bad can this be? Like, how much can you kill a awesome game, a game that's done so well for both indie developers and killed it? Like, it's, you know, and they just go, nah, let's just do this. But don't worry, Helldivers, they're all fine now. But that was wild week for them. Now, we also got the first look of James Gunn's Superman in the suit. Now, I did post a TikTok about this, and look, I feel bad because I am one of those people that's like, oh, you know, the previous version was better. Which, you know, like, as I said on TikTok, you know, it's the same thing that happened with The Dark Knight. When we got so Rob Pattinson's suit, everyone said, you know, oh, that's shit. I prefer Christian Bale's suit or Ben Affleck's suit, which I do like the Rob Pattinson's bat suit, which is now currently playable in Arkham Knight if you want to play it. But for me, I still like the Dark Knight suit, I suppose, and probably Ben Affleck's suit in Batman v Superman, opposed to Robert Pattinson's. But seeing this reveal, which I'd love to know what everyone's thoughts were on it, and we did a poll on Instagram, and I did upgrade or downgrade. Unfortunately, downgrade won by a bit. It's just, I don't know, just looking at it, I don't know what. Henry Cavill's suit just seemed to look sleek. Looks really good as a suit. Now, I have seen a couple of comments where people justify the suit, saying if it looks a bit tacky, this may not be his final suit. Because remember, this is basically Superman Year One, like Batman Year One, Superman Year One. So he's been Superman for only a year. So we're not going to get the whole him finding his powers and everything, blah, 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 blah. Now, we're just going to dive in the story straight away. Well, probably the best example is doing the Spider-Man Homecoming situation. Just dive in a story. He's been here for a year, and you know the rest because we've seen it time and time and time and time again. We don't need another origin story. Can't stress that enough, but we don't need. But it could be that this might not his final suit. But the thing is, what I find interesting, and I said this, was like, don't mind the suit, but WTF in the background, there's a giant laser beam hitting something in the background, and you're just like, I'm going to put my boots on before I do shit, because, you know, it could be dirty out there while I'm flying. or anything like that. Like, what is going on with this Dragon Ball Z shit in the background? But look, Superman, well, it's going to be called Superman Legacy. Superman is coming out next year. And it's going to basically almost going to be going head to head with Fantastic Four. They're about a week apart. So Marvel fans, DC fans, we're going to be absolutely treated. And it's, you know, it's been a very long time since we have had a, very long time since we've been hated since a Man of, you know, Man of Steel, Superman movie. Yeah, all that. So, Riddick fans, this is going to be... So, Riddick has been Vin Diesel's baby for many, many, many years now. And he's confirmed that a fourth Riddick movie is currently in the works. Riddick Furia is coming. So that's going to be start shooting this year. So we're looking about next year, late next year, release date. Very little about the plot details at the moment, but he is coming. Now, we know that this Vin Diesel has been trying to get this off the ground for a little while. Looks like it's all in the high gear and it will be coming. You know, it's funny when you look at Riddick, the first movie to now, you know, you can see how much Vin Diesel's aged. And look, his time in, well, I was going to say his time in Fast and Furious will be coming to an end, but not really. Yeah, it's not coming to an end anytime soon. So he's going to find something else to do. And Guardians of the Galaxy is dead, and we don't know when Groot's going to show up again. So Riddick is his next big project. So set that in. Wednesday. So we got a wonderful Netflix promo video of Wednesday. It has officially started shooting. We got cast details. And Wednesday will be coming next year. Majority of the cast is returning with a couple of new people. One of them, interesting enough, is Christopher Lloyd. So if anyone remembers Christopher Lloyd, Back to the Future, Doc Brown, he was also in the original Adam's Family, the 1 and 2, as Fester, and he'll be coming in this movie, in this TV show as well. Obviously, he's not going to be playing Fester. He'll be playing a different character, but it's just nice that we finally got some kind of promo, some kind of thing about Wednesday, which is really good. Because remember, there was a bit of a if or not there was going to be season 2, and due to just distribution rights or something went wrong there, that no, Wednesday season 2 is coming, which here we were again. Now, apparently the little thing is that there's going to be less love story and more dark elements into it, as opposed to the first season where Wednesday was basically in a weird love triangle. That's going to be less of that for season 2. If they've started shooting now with Tim Burton returning, yeah, we're probably looking about, I'd say probably at mid-next year. I was hoping February, March, but she was obviously still shooting Beetlejuice, which got delayed. So you will see Jenna Ortega later this year in the upcoming Beetlejuice 2, which sure it will be coming. But yes, Wednesday season 2 is currently shooting, so good to see what we see from that. Now, I completely forgot this was in production. Now, we are going to get a brand new Blade Runner TV show that will be a sequel to Blade Runner 1, Blade Runner 2, in Blade Runner 2049. Now, this will be premiering on Amazon Prime with that sweet, sweet Amazon Prime money, which the boys, Invincible, Fallout, I think it's pretty safe to say what this is going to look like, and this is going to look great. So now Michelle Yeoh is going to be starring in this as a lead role. Apparently, it was reported that she will be playing as a replicant near ending of its life. So I'm very curious to see how this is going to sit, how this is going to look. I have complete faith. I have to say, out of all the streaming services, Amazon, I have the most faith when it picks something up, which is why I'm glad that Amazon has the rights to the God of War TV show. Apparently, they're going to be making. I'm really, it's in safe hands. You know, I feel it's safe, and that's going to be great. So being Blade Runner, being this immersive sci-fi universe, it has to have that backing. There is no confirmation of any of the original characters from the Blade Runner 1 2 that will be appearing. I'm sure there's going to be references because you have to. But that's all we know about this right now. No release date at this stage. So just keep your eyes on Amazon Prime for Blade Runner fans. Now, Ryan Coogler, which we know has directed Black Panther 1 and 2, he will also be writing or directing the Black Panther TV show that's coming out the end of this year, Eyes of Wakanda. Apparently, has signed on for Black Panther 3, but Marvel also want him to direct the upcoming X-Men movie, which I really, 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 really hope we get something of that. And D23 or Comic-Con this year, we get something about the X-Men movie from Marvel. And I think that Ryan Coogler would do a fantastic job in handling an X-Men movie. Very much in Black Panther 3, we could see Storm for obvious reasons. I think being in his hands, I think that's pretty safe. Very curious on how this X-Men movie is going to take place. Whether or not it's going to be before or after Secret Wars. Kind of right now, Marvel needs to get Secret Wars out of the way so there are no more delays. But don't you worry, that X-Men movie is coming. But who would you like to see direct the X-Men movies? Who do you think could do a really good job? And not Bryan Singer. He's done. Ted 2 fans. Ted fans. Season 2 has been greenlit. Due to this being an absolute win for Peacock and Seth MacFarlane, one of the highest streamed TV shows on Peacock ever. So season 2 has been greenlit, and I'd say we would be looking at the end of next year roughly for season 2 to be dropping 2025 or early 2026. But this was an absolute no-brainer. The show did really well. It was clever. And I barely saw any bad reviews for it at all. And I agree with a lot of people I spoke to. Loved it. It was fresh, especially going back into this Ted universe. So this is an absolute win. Okay, some more Fantastic Four news. So we got a bit this week, actually. So number one, Fantastic Four will start shooting in July this year for its release date. John Malkovich is joining the cast, an unnamed role. And we also have Ralph Ensign, who will be playing Galactus. Now, this is exciting. Very curious to know what John Malkovich is going to be playing or how big the role will be. But Galactus will be appearing in Fantastic Four. But as I think, as all the fans, as we all are, we don't want this to be a giant freaking cloud that we got in Fantastic Four 2, The Rise of Silver Surfer. That is the only incarnation at the moment we've got of Galactus on the live action. And it was dismal and depressing. So, and, you know, after the Internals, we saw the Celestials. They were big. They were huge. It made sense in this world. Besides the Celestial head that's still sticking out of Earth, which I'm so sick of those comments. Oh, what about the Celestial that's sticking out of the Earth? You know, Marvel really hasn't referenced that. It's just be patient and you'll find out. Jesus. So if we can like this, we could see him as big as Celestials. And it would just make sense. In this Marvel universe, you don't have to, we can see it. So I really hope we get to see Galactus in his giant form because we know we have the Silver Surfer. So Galactus wasn't a guarantee, but he would have gotten a reference. That's the main thing. But the Fantastic Four film is shaping up, starting shooting in July. I can't wait for this. This is just what Marvel's going to bring with this film. Again, I have faith in Marvel, and I know a lot of people are going to be like, oh, you know, Marvel's dead and blah, blah, blah. Trust me. Marvel is going to have this in the bag, and they need to. Also, so Batman the Caped Crusader. This is an upcoming animated DC project where it will be another Batman animated TV show, but The original creators of the Batman animated TV show are coming back for this, as well as Matt Reeves, J.J. Abrams. They're all working on this upcoming project, which looks like to be Batman based in the 1940s. That'll be dropping on Amazon Prime the 1st of August. Now, the reason why this show has been, well, it got announced, but it's had a bit of a tricky up and down due to everything that happened with the merger and everything. What's going to happen? What was happening with this? Who is going to pick it up? Was the show dead? But lucky enough, Amazon Prime picked it up. Now, this will not be having Kevin Conroy play the particular character, unfortunately, due to his passing. But from the set, from the anime stills that we've got, this looks pretty good. I'm curious to know who will be taking the iconic role and how, because they said this is going to be a lot darker. So that's the question I've really got, is like, how dark are we going with this? Because the Batman the Animated Series was very dark. So the fact this is going to be darker is up for debate. Also, Frank Grillo will be making his big DC debut in Peacemaker Season 2, which we saw on James Gunn's Instagram. He'll be playing Rick Flagg Sr., and he'll be playing the character in both Peacemaker Season 2 and the animated TV show Creature Commandos. So it's just funny because it's like Frank Grillo is playing Rick Flagg Sr., who's playing the dad of Rick Flagg in the Suicide Squad that James Gunn shot and filmed in Suicide Squad 1 as Rick Flagg. And this is going to be a season 2 to Peacemaker season 1, but this is not going to be part of the old DC. This is part of the new DC. Yeah, I'm not joking. Like, if you're a casual fan watching Peacemaker season 2, you're just going to be lost in this entire thing. And I'm not joking. When I saw this, I was like, oh, cool. I was like, oh, well, that just makes everything a little bit more complicated. Season 2 of Peacemaker is being shot right now, so that will be about mid to late next year. We will see that. All the major cast is returning with a few additions, so I'm very curious to see that. Now, the sci-fi queen, Sigourney Weaver, apparently is in talks to join the Mandalorian and Grogu movie, which I'm really excited for this. When I saw it, I was like, yes. You know, we all know who Sigourney Weaver is. Alien, Avatar, the list goes on. And her addition to the Mando movie would be perfect. And I hope she gets a decent role in this. And I think it would be fantastic. And boy, I think about the Mandalorian movie, I'm just getting more excited for this. Like, I'm just like, yes, Mandalorian, Grogu, road trip movie set in this Dave Filoni universe. It's just going to print money. It's just printing money. And so this edition will be fantastic. But there's no mention of what role she'll play. Hopefully she'll be playing a new character. I think a new character would do her really well. But, you know, she can just tick off another major sci-fi franchise that she has joined. But let you know, is there a particular Star Wars character in this time frame that you would like to see her play? Let me know. So that is the biggest news in the past week. And we... X-Men 97. Tolerance over extinction. Tolerance is extinction. What can I say about this episode? So this is part two from part one and going into part three, which is coming out next week. And we've got, as I said, we've got very special guests that we have on the show that we're going to be diving into this massive final, which this episode just increased that tension tenfold. So how this episode starts out is Charles wakes up in his home and sees the devastation it's caused and how distrust the X-Men of him, because, you know, he has a good scene with Scott and Jean about why he gave his house to Magneto, and he said that he wanted them to be free, but, you know, Scott's like, we should have had that choice, you know, it should be in us, you know, we'll always be here. which makes sense. I understood Charles from that point of view, but you can just feel they're not. This isn't the happy-go-lucky X-Men team. They've really, you know, at the end, Charles has really effed up on this. To go, which I put as Magneto to go with his Bird Queen, which I did love that comment. But we see that and you feel it. And we finally have the team back together as much as we can. Rogue wakes up and they start devising a plan to take down Magneto. So from the last episode, you would have known Magneto did this massive EMP pulse, which stopped all the Prime Sentinels. However, in doing so, essentially, the planet has stopped rotating. It's still rotating, but the magnetic field of the planet is dying because basically he has slowly put the planet to a standstill, and which is will cause the Earth to die. But of course, Magneto doesn't give a shit because he's just declared war on humans. So now it becomes a race to stop Magneto, stop Sebastian, stop Mr. Sinister, and all of this. So the team has to break up into teams and go fight each other. Of course, it's one of those do or die missions that go into this. However, to add another layer of thickness onto it, Magneto has raised Asteroid M again to go into space, which we saw in the original TV show. Him and he goes to the X-Men and he tells him about what he wants to do, that you should come with me, which we have seen before. But it's interesting when I was watching this because I'm watching it and, you know, I said this in the last episode and this episode still makes me think of it. You know, for a very long time, you watch it and go, I'm with Charles. Charles has the best plan. You know, Charles is the hero, Magneto is the bad guy. You can't, live in harmony with both mutants and humans. But, you know, when I was watching this scene, I'm going, I'd go with Magneto. After everything that's happened, you know, Charles isn't, you know, looking 100% in the sense of, you know, he's done the right thing. He's effed up multiple times. X-Men have died following his vision. For this, so yes, people have died under Magneto's vision, but Charles and Magneto does say to Charles, you know, I walked your path. Are you ready to walk mine? Because of what's happened, because what you've led to, what you've caused, and it's just gut wrenching because Charles is just looking down. And he's just like, oh shit, you know, he's right. And Rogue goes off with Magneto and says the same thing. You know, you weren't there for Genosha, and this is what happened. Roberto also goes with Magneto because of what happened with his mum, which is fair, 100% fair on that. And, you know, it's just watching and going, wow, yeah, I'm not all for Professor X on this, and I understand why they're all leaving him because of what's happened. And then they always go to devise their plan, so they split up. One goes to hunt down Sebastian. The other goes to hunt Magneto. Now, the team that goes to hunt Magneto is Jean, Nathan, Mr. Sinister, and Beast. Mr. Sinister, sorry. Morph, who becomes Mr. Sinister very recently. And we get a really cool action-packed scene in that with the iconic X-Men theme kicks in, which is great. Morph turns into the Hulk. And I'm like, what? How much power do you have, Morph? Not to mention, when the team goes split up because of what's happened with the X-Mansion, we get the classic suits, which look sleek, and I love it. Even though I do like the look of them, I still prefer the other suits they were in. But, you know, seeing Cable in his dad's uniform is pretty awesome to see. So we get a great action set piece in that, and we see Jean versus Mr. Sinister. And we finally get to see he's kebabs against her. Jean starts being Mr. Sinister, but then we find out that he's mind controlled Nathan and Cable. Cable's versing Jean, and we also find out that he has, which I can't remember if he did or not. I don't remember everyone ever saying this or ever seeing it in a comic that he also has telekinetic powers as well. So he starts defying Jean. So that's happening in that sense. Both Beast and Morph have been captured at Bastion. So they're stuck in that sentence. And we flip over to Magneto. The team's fighting them on Asteroid M. And Charles is doing his normal Charles thing with Magneto. They're having their back and forth. And then Magneto, which I loved, throws a piece of metal over Charles's face and says, "I've wanted to say these two words for you for a very long time. Shut up." And you just felt it in that scene. You just, like, I was like, yeah, you're not getting through him. And as they're fighting, that Wolverine gets Magneto's helmet off. Charles goes into his head, tries to use his powers, take over him. However, Jean calls to Scott because she's losing against Cable. Scott shoots Charles, which, holy shit. I was like, oh, what the fuck? Okay, I didn't see that coming. Magneto loses it, starts really hurting the professor, and then right behind him, Wolverine stabs Magneto, and there's blood. I was like, oh, shit, yeah. There's blood, and he gets him good. And Wolverine goes, "I've been a lot of wars, bub, but you know the brave die first." And Magneto is pissed, absolutely pissed, as you would be because you just got stabbed in the back by three knives. Turns around, stops Magneto, stops Charles around, throws Wolverine off, and goes and rips the Antimenium from his skeleton. And the last scene you see is just the metal pouring out from his body, which is the frame of the comic in Fatal Attractions that we see that happens. Now, interesting enough, that in the comics, you find out that once that metal comes off Wolverine, that was actually stopping another mutation where he becomes basically Feral Wolverine, which leads to a whole darker path where Wolverine wants to get the metal back, to him fighting Sabretooth, to him becoming one of the horsemen of the Apocalypse, and becomes Death to get his metal back. And we haven't seen Apocalypse, only in the intro, this entire time. So this could very much be what will lead to season two, that Wolverine will join Apocalypse, and it'll be insane, you know. He's been one of the right-hand mans of Professor X. And because of this, this could lead down to that track. But just seeing that scene, I was watching going, oh, my God. Like, I didn't think they would actually do it. I didn't think I was going to pull the trigger on that. But Wolverine looks mortified. It's a horrible, horrible picture to become animated and in comics. And the worst thing I would say about it is cuts right there. Boom, cuts, roll credits, and that's how it leads into it. So the final next week, we've got Wolverine without his metal. He's still got his bone claws, but without his metal. We've got Scott, who's just shot Professor X to give the other team more time to shut down Bastion. We've got Jean, who's fighting Cable and losing. Bastion's got Morph and Beast. Storm is currently being shot down, and what Storm and sorry about that. We have Storm and with Forge, who Forge has been shot down, and Storm and Jean have this beautiful scene I forgot to mention about their sisterhood. We have them that's stuck down there. We have and Magneto, who's dying. How are we going to pull this back? So there is so much that next week's episode is going to cover in that 40 minutes. Just, you know, wrap up as much as they can, fix the Earth, slight fallout from what's happened, and is Magneto really going to be dead forever? Well, he's been stabbed. Whether he's going to heal or not is another question. And lead into season two. That is the biggest thing right now. And it's just this is just the tension, the drama. I can't get enough. The fact that every single week, it raises up by a little more. It raises up by a little more every single week. And I know it says like it's kids' cartoon, but that last scene with Wolverine, that's a good way to be mortified forever. So, but again, this episode there was no major cameos except for the Hulk, which questions me how more powerful Morph is. Earth is at a standstill. How was this all going to take place and finish up? That is the biggest question. And like everybody right now, on Wednesday, I'm going to be glued to my TV as soon as I get home from work and watching this. Everything is being elevated. The writing on the show is fantastic. What's going to happen? The back and forth. And the fact that you're watching this, and while you're watching it, you're really, like, I think a lot of people, we're like Magneto. Magneto all the way. Not Bastion. Bat. Magneto. All the way. And I would like to say, howdy to Game Junction. Thanks for coming past, man, on the YouTube. Appreciate it, as always, buddy. But yeah, like, you're just watching going, Magneto. And it's not, you know, you watch how calm and collected Professor X is in the movies, and you're watching this and you're like, no, I'm just not rooting for him at all. You know, Professor X has done too much damage and has effed up way too much. And look what's happened to Wolverine. Like, it's just insane to think about. And again, the last shot, this comic book accurate shot that we get of Wolverine and what that would lead to with Apocalypse, feral Wolverine, you know, what's going to happen to Jean. And, you know, Rogue makes this absolutely 100%. X-Men 97 is phenomenal. Preach that, man. Preach that. And, you know, what's going on with Jean and Cable? And Rogue also says, you know, who's the next person who's going to die, Professor X? You know, Jean, I love it. Jean, done that, been that. Morph was only a team for 30 minutes, and we don't know where Bishop is. And I keep forgetting about Bishop. So Jean does say in the other episode that Cable asks where is Bishop? And he said apparently he fell through the time stream, and he doesn't know where he's landed. So Bishop was obviously at the start of the season. He had to go back to take Cable to the future. But Cable came back, but Bishop, sorry, we don't know where Bishop is. So is Bishop going to rock up in the last episode? Are we going to find out who's going to be next? Are they going to stop Bastion? Are they going to fix Earth? Or is this just going to be still pushed into season two? And, you know, another toe point. Does Scott also begin to lose more faith in Charles Xavier and lead to something even more interesting, which is another entire comic book that you can go down, which is Avengers First X-Men, which if we got that, I tell you, it's a wild ride, and this episode is just still pushing it, and it's just going to be keep being a wild ride going into this. And look, that's my review of X-Men 97 Episode 9. But you tell me, what do you think of the episode? Who do you want to see rock up? What's the next cameo? How do you think this final is going to end? And who do you want to see in season two? And as always, thank you for coming past. And until next time, happy ranting.
Thanks for listening to Lights, Camera, Rant. If you like the show, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. While you're at it, leave us a rating and review, and be sure to tell your friends. Until next time, happy ranting.